T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam in the Morning podcast, brought to you by your local Les Schwab Tire Centers, where I get my wild country tires. Les Schwab, doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
It ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
With Dusty Hara and NFL veteran Cam Cleland.
If I can change, and you can change, everybody can change.
On 1080, The Fan.
It's hour three. I don't know how we got here so fast. Been on here for 3 days. It feels like it flew by. Appreciate you guys having me in. If you missed anything from hours 1, 2, yesterday, Friday, podcast available, 1080thefan.com. You can also rewind. What up? Rewind on radio.com. If you're listening right now and you're like, what were they just talking about to start the show? We talked about all kinds
hear
of stuff.
Cam channel his best Billy Corgan. You can do that.
Oh, yeah. You can go and listen to Cam Corgan. You can go back and listen to Cam on Cam, his Cam Newton thoughts. You can go back and listen to Cam's thoughts on the Ivy League moving to spring football. Anything you want to hear, you can just rewind. Radio.com, radio.com app. You can tell your smart speaker to play 1080 The Fan. It's really too easy to listen. Why would you do anything else? Wait for Cam to say something. He's just staring at me.
I'm just staring at you. I was just waiting. It's very convenient.
It is.
Quite, it's very convenient. We have every option.
Quite convenient.
Hey, Alexa, play 1080 The Fan.
Oh,
I just got a lot of people. Boom.
Boom.
Boom goes the dynamite. And boom goes the dynamite.
So I want to get back into the NFL.
Why?
Two reasons.
Why? Why'd you leave?
I was never invited, like some people here. The NFL was not seeking
out
my.
You're not in the cool club, Luke.
Not part of
the club.
Hey, they're happy to have me as a fan, but they are not seeking me out as talent to go out and play. My football career ended. We'll say midway through high school, even though I kept playing. Mm. So two things. One, Adrian Peterson is pretty upset about the way the running back position is being treated. He says that it feels disrespectful by the way that the NFL is valuing running backs. Now, Cam, I know that the most important position on the field is tight end. I mean, that's pretty obvious.
That's what, right? I was about to say. I was like, hold on a second, Adrian. Hold the phone here. Most disrespected position. All right. Are we going to play the game of what's the most disrespected position?
The fact that Jimmy Graham was trying to be classified as a wide receiver for his franchise tag. Well, I don't disagree with that.
He played more than 40% of his snaps. I think more than 50%. I think it was
more
than
50%.
In a 2-point stance.
Yep. Well, and that didn't really block.
We're talking most disrespected position?
Nice job, you kicker!
You damn! I wasn't even going to say, this isn't even close. It's not even close.
But you've watched the evolution of the NFL, and it has moved away from the featured back in a lot of places. Does Adrian Peterson have any ground to stand on with the way that running backs are treated?
No, he doesn't. And I wouldn't expect him to lean on any other mindset, because he's been that way, and I value what he's thinking. But come on, I mean, that's just like any other bias that we have. Why would, if you're a fan of whatever position you think is the most important, we all know quarterback is the most important. If you were drafting right now, any general manager would tell you, is that running back, other than Jerry Jones, running back just doesn't carry the can. Just look at the drafts the last few seasons, and you could see it is extremely rare to find value in the top 10, much less. I mean, you have Zeke, you have some of these guys that have been there and been drafted, but the mindset is that we can have a committee of running backs that can be better than one gigantic, enormous superstar that we think, and one that does come along. Just ask the Rams if they thought Todd Gurley was worth that huge contract. Just ask everything from Le'Veon Bell, how the Jets feel. Pittsburgh said, we're not willing to pay you. I mean, Marshawn Lynch was one of the rare ones. Actually, you got out what you were willing to pay him. He brought you something like that because of his toughness and reliability. But you're going to see Christian McCaffrey. We're going to find out real soon how valuable the running back position is when Christian McCaffrey holds out after this season, which I would do in a heartbeat.
Well, and Christian McCaffrey is also playing a lot.
Well, he's not just a running back.
Outside of the backfield, yeah.
He's not just a running back. He's classified as one. Unfortunately, that's going to bump his scale. It's kind of like what I say about baseball players is that if you want to be, and I use Adley Rutschman as my classic example because he's the number one overall pick for the Baltimore Orioles, is that if he wants to be considered one of the best in baseball, which he might soon be, don't play catcher. Because catchers are not getting $300 million contracts. Pitchers are in position players outside of catcher. Be an outfielder, be a first baseman, and hit bombs.
Yeah.
So if
you get paid for what you do at the plate, not behind the plate.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And so with football, you get paid for your productivity. And unfortunately, the running back productivity is not as... It's because if you want to use Derrick Henry this year for an example, Derrick Henry, okay?
Yep.
Legit running back, right?
Yes.
Would you say he's the identity monster of Tennessee?
Yeah.
When it comes to their offense?
Yeah, I would say
that. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
I mean, is it Ryan Tannehill?
No, it's Derrick Henry drugged them to the AFC Championship.
So if you were if you were paying that guy based on his value, who was the most valuable player on that offense last year? It was Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
So do you pay him like Ryan Tannehill? Hell no. You know why? Because the shelf life of that is that you pay for your value. Shelf lives, and this is just reality. Shelf life of running back, on average, is 4 years if you're lucky. The high value. That just doesn't, that's why Ezekiel Elliott knew and held out to get his money as fast as he could, because he understood once he hits age 27, it's all downhill. It's already been proven.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and did you happen to catch Ezekiel Elliott's trouble that he was having?
He was on his Twitch with the X-Man. Log out.
So Zeke is threatening to sue Sports Illustrated for suggesting that his comment about being, quote, low-key faded suggested that he was high on weed. He said that faded could very easily refer to the couple of drinks that he had. Mm-hmm. He's 24 years old. He is perfectly within his legal rights to be drinking. But he is claiming that he left his live stream on and then said that he was a little faded. Here's his tweet at Sports Illustrated. He said, actually, I was referring to the few drinks I had, which I said during the live stream. Doesn't that mean this is defamation? You guys will be hearing from my lawyers, Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah.
June 29th, 2020. So.
Whoops.
Whoops. So yeah, Zeke Elliott, you may see that, but yeah, he was basically on the live stream and then said he was low key faded.
I see
when he left it on.
So. I have to correct myself. The Christian McCaffrey thing, that is a correction. That is my bad, is that he did set the market moving forward.
Yeah.
Because he had already set the market. My mind was in a fog.
You were on a lot of things, so I didn't want to interrupt your flow, but yeah.
No, there's no point to it. He did set the market as the value of what all these running backs need to come up to.
Yeah, but he also, again, like the thing that you said right after that.
Go ahead. I know what I'm saying is that Christian McCaffrey set the market. I was going to say that he didn't hold out. Obviously not. They were smart enough with Carolina to be able to not have to pay Teddy Bridgewater $40+ million. So they have that kind of, they get rid of Cam Newton. They're willing to pay Christian McCaffrey that kind of money in that 4-year window. So at that value, he's well worth it.
Yeah,
he is well worth that. So is someone like an Alvin Kamara, all those other guys that are looking to get those numbers up and get those running back numbers up, is the future of running back play? And this is where I think it has to be. And the reason why I use Derrick Henry as an example is that I think the running backs moving forward is what Adrian Peterson may not understand, is that your running back position is going to have to also be a 50-catch-a-year guy.
Well,
I think at minimum to garner the kind of money that Christian McCaffrey has set.
Yeah, well, and you said
Le'Veon Bell was. He was a 300. I know, I keep interrupting.
No, you're good.
He was a 320, 330 touches per year guy. Yeah. That's why he wanted that high number.
Yep.
That's why Christian McCaffrey got it.
Well, and you said it moments after that, so that's what the reason I didn't interrupt you was he does so much more than just play running back. And here's from Deal on the fan text line, 503-250-1080. Adrian Peterson has 289 catches in his 15-year career. Christian McCaffrey has 303 in 3 years.
Different systems.
Well, two
and
but different it's also systems. Different skill sets.
And also, you're not going to ask Derrick Henry to do a lot of that, but he is an excellent screen back. Mm-hmm. Derrick Henry is an excellent screen back. You probably not watch it on film. He's very versatile at it. He finds his way, but he's not that explosive change of direction guy that you're going to be running the quick posts, the flat routes, and all those things. He's a great screen back, and so is Adrian Peterson. The best back I ever saw catching the ball out of the backfield to this day, and I will lock it down, is Marshall Faulk. Marshall Faulk could have played wide receiver. He could have played any position on that field. He could have played quarterback. He was so gifted and talented. It was ridiculous. But that was kind of, he kind of paved the way for what backs have to be now moving forward. You have to be multi-versatile.
Yeah, and it's not just backs. I mean, it's every position. You see receivers running the ball.
I don't want to see wide receivers running the football.
But you do see it. You do see it quite often.
Debo,
right?
Yeah, I know. And Debo saying, "Oh yeah,
yeah." Running, whether it's the fly sweep or just doing the wide receiver
Tyler Lockett
screen.
Is very good at it.
The wide receiver screen.
Cordarrelle Patterson's done it a fair amount.
Yeah.
So I don't know. You're also seeing offenses get more creative. And one of the reasons a running back may be undervalued is, and Cam, you could probably speak to this better than I can, but when you watch college football, it's not a featured back anymore. It's spread offenses where it's get the ball in your playmaker's hands, whoever that playmaker is, by any means necessary.
And it's speed and fresh bodies.
And you just don't have with 53 guys on a roster and the amount of hits and the amount of touches. That's why Christian McCaffrey is, I just don't know how his body's going to hold up like that. We've never seen anybody hold up over time. You remember the fall off to running back is the fastest fall off of any position in the National Football League. I think that's fair to say.
Yeah.
The immediate drop off from production from a running back falls off so quickly. I mean, it's just like you could be from 1 second, you could be the best player in the league, and just ask how many running backs we've seen in the past.
Yeah, well, you lose.
That's why you look at Emmitt Smith and go, why is that sustainability, or why was he able to do that? Because he had a great offensive line and the system was solid, and it made sure. I don't know if the system's today's world with the way football is coached. Want these guys in so much space. There's never been a bigger field. It's only 53 yards wide, but in today's offense, if you're not using all 53 yards, you're getting exposed.
In fairness to Adrian Peterson, he has had a long career as a power back. So when you talk about durability, he's been remarkable. And he came back from his ACL tear in like, 3 months or whatever?
Yeah, no, it's a legend. 3 months. It's 6 months. Six months or so. It's a legendary thing.
Yeah, it's something else.
And everybody uses that now as the benchmark. Yeah. Well, Adrian Peterson did it in 6 months.
Jeez. All right. Okay. Maniac. Brett Favre played quarterback for Green Bay. And he's got some ideas on the way. The two quarterbacks currently in Green Bay, including the new one, should be used together on the field. Good idea or bad idea? We will discuss Brett Favre's thoughts for Jordan Love next. You're listening to Luke Anderson filling in for Dusty and Cam right here on 1080 The Fan. You guys remember Brett Favre?
Yeah, he was in Something About Mary.
Yeah, guy from Something About Mary. That's right.
Favre.
That was Johnny one of the funniest lines. You're right, Brett Favre.
What about Brett Favre?
Brett Favre played quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. He was a bit curmudgeon-y when his replacement was drafted, and it's the story goes that he was not real helpful for Aaron Rodgers, the current quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. Well, he's chimed in on the Jordan Love draft pick and making suggestions on how the Packers should implement Jordan Love into the team's offense. Mm-hmm. This quote from Mr. Favre: I think there's a way to incorporate it much like Taysom Hill with the Saints. Use him as a halfback pass, but occasionally let him run it to show that you'll do that.
I don't like it.
Immediately.
I don't like it.
You don't like it?
No, Jordan Love is not Taysom Hill. I don't like it. I think that's a blanket statement. I think it's just also the times when you look at Taysom Hill, he's a linebacker.
He is a truck, dude.
He is a beast. He looks like, he reminds me of Mike Allstott.
You know what Taysom Hill reminds me of? Every time I see him, I go, he looks like Drew Brees' stunt double. Doesn't he?
He looks like what Drew Brees would do if Drew Brees was 21 and 50 pounds heavier.
Well, that's what I mean. Like his stunt double. It's like, all right, bring in the stunt double. We're going to do.
First of all, here's
the Wildcat. We're going to do a quarterback run. Bring in the stunt double.
Why does everybody want. See, that's the thing is everyone's like the shiny new pet. The shiny new toy is Lamar Jackson. Okay, because everybody thinks you could just now create this guy that goes out and runs. And I just think that Jordan Love is, you're taking a rookie and you're going to say, hey, let's add him into some aspects. Okay, draw up a couple special plays for him to come in and throw or maybe a couple boots and something to get him out. But if you want to use him like Taysom Hill is a battering ram. They use him on punt. He is a personal protector. He is so physical and so strong. I don't know if I want to see Jordan Love, and I've already seen guys like Cam Newton take hits in his early in his career, and he's paying the price now. If you want this guy to be your future, do not do anything like RG3 and throw him out there and get smacked by some of the linebackers.
Well, that's a difficult thing, too, is I guess if you're thinking of Jordan Love as your future, then, yeah, you need to protect him a little bit more. But is there a place in the NFL for teams to hold a roster spot for a Taysom Hill?
Well, there's no place in the NFL for teams to hold three quarterbacks. You know how hard it is to even keep three quarterbacks? So you have to have somebody that's, I don't want to say he would be the emergency quarterback, but he kind of is. Yeah. Because Jameis Winston is the backup. You're not going to convince me that Sean Payton, when push comes to shove, that if Drew Brees goes down, they're going to go, Taysom, it's yours.
Well, what they do last year.
I could be wrong.
Well, last year is a perfect example. He missed Drew Brees missed five games. They put in Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah, because
Taysom Hill was still used.
Still there, still versatile, still the guy, and they want to go, he is the future. No, he's not. No. Well, I don't buy it, and that's why I say Jordan Love is just be careful what you wish for because you're one collarbone away from him being the starter.
Yeah.
Because that's happened before.
Sure.
I mean, I know they got to protect what Aaron Rodgers is as a quarterback. He's just not the same guy, and he can still sling it as good as anybody, but he's going to be looking over his shoulder a little bit.
Sure.
Brett Favre is probably like, oh, yeah, that's what they wanted to use Aaron Rodgers for, but I told him, hold off. That's the future. And you can meet Aaron Rodgers and be like, yeah, Jordan, come on in. Sure. You want to run this quarterback lead for us? Yeah, great. Guess who's over there? 270, 280, 300-pounder D-tackle. You got a 200-pound. Yeah, no. Go in and run this little offense for a little while as he stands at the sideline.
Yeah.
Go ahead and get hurt.
Well, we were just talking about Christian McCaffrey and how versatile he is out of the backfield in lining up as a wide receiver, doing everything on the field. Is there a year in the future where you can see teams holding on to a guy that they want as that third quarterback plus, or is Taysom Hill just very unique? Or, I mean, if Brett Favre is looking at a roster, but he's looking at a roster going, hey, if we can get a guy like that.
Yeah, but Jordan Love is not even close. I mean, just if you looked at the two of them, I think that's kind of, I mean, I love Brett Favre. I think he's fantastic. He's great. And he's just, he's just spitting his theories, and that's good.
Yeah.
But I think if you just look at it, they're not even close to the same kind of player.
How about
that's what they're saying to do with. I would say Jalen Hurts is closer to that.
Okay, there you go.
Than perfect. Jordan Love, and that's probably a better version of what Philly wants to do with him, knowing that you have Carson Wentz, but Carson Wentz is also very injury prone.
Yes, he is,
and so he hasn't really. And he made through a really good year last year and made the playoffs.
Do they have another backup quarterback on their roster in Philadelphia?
In Philadelphia,
I'll pull it up. I would say yes.
I would think so. Doug Peterson would want three quarterbacks.
I would think so.
Most definitely. He's a quarterback.
Exactly. Philadelphia Eagles backup quarterback. But the other thing that's interesting about it is you think back to, I mean, you said it with Marshall Faulk a guy that could have played everything on the field. If a guy like Sean Payton had Marshall Faulk, is there?
Well, he's got Alvin Kamara. That's the thing is, but they have that guy.
But were there skills untapped with, you know, whether it's throwing the ball, or did Marshall Faulk get everything he could out of football?
Yeah, the question.
Like, if he came in, if you put Marshall Faulk in today's game, would he have been even better?
No, he's a freakazoid. There's certain guys in the history of sports that would translate today. Like Bo Jackson would translate in 1900 and in the year 3025.
It doesn't matter when.
No, there's no way you can get around the fact that I'm a better athlete than you.
Yeah.
And that's what Taysom Hill does. He's a more physical, talented athlete than a lot of guys out there. Does he have a skill set to stand in the pocket for 82 times and command an offense like Drew Brees does? I've never seen it.
Yeah.
I've never seen it. Jameis Winston has more credibility than that. You know, I wouldn't dare risk that, but that's not me. I'm not Sean Payton.
Yeah.
And with Green Bay, the future, you drafted Jordan Love to be your future. Are you willing to put him out there down the field running at 10 to 15 yards, knowing that this is going to happen this year, guys? This is going to happen. Lamar Jackson's going to take a hit. He's going to get hit hard because teams have figured things out a little bit and they have a year on film. Not very often you win an MVP and you come in and it happened to Michael Vick. It happens to everybody. The guy that's the most crazy elusive that still finds a way to get out of it is Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson does not get hit.
Yeah.
He has spider sense. He really does.
He does.
And Lamar Jackson has a creative ability, but he's going to take a shot. It's mathematics, man. You can't go doing that all along and then sit there and tell you that you can avoid the athletes that are on defense, because defensive players are faster. They are so quick now. Linebackers are mutant speeds, and guys, you're not outrunning anybody.
Yeah. Yeah. The quarterbacks on the Philadelphia Eagles roster right now: Carson Wentz, Nate Sudfeld, Jalen Hurts, and Kyle Lauletta.
Lauletta.
Wow. There you go.
Kyle Lauletta. He was with the Giants last.
Okay.
So I know nothing about Kyle Lauletta. So anyway, so there's your four quarterbacks on the roster right now. So it'd be interesting to see if you start seeing more of it. The interesting thing to me, though, is Taysom Hill is the blueprint that keeps getting brought up. Like, oh, if you could use a guy like that.
Well, that's exactly.
But the Saints still haven't won with this implemented. We started to see, like, in the last playoff, we saw him used effectively. But
you want to talk about history repeating yourself? I remember seeing this with Cordell Stewart.
Yeah.
They called him Slash.
But he was the starting quarterback, and they did more with him. But it wasn't.
No, but when he first got started, he wasn't. He was not.
Yeah, Neil O'Donnell was the guy.
Neil O'Donnell.
They went to the Super Bowl with Neil O'Donnell.
Yes, they did. And he handed Larry Brown a MVP trophy and handed the Cowboys a victory.
Well, I understand that. But this has already been done before. It's going to be repetitive. You get one off, you can't just find these guys.
Yeah. If you could, everybody would have one. But they don't exist. Right. They don't exist. And they wouldn't put him on
punt.
Yeah. That's true. Well, and you just see how good of an athlete he is, and you go, well, man, we got to get this guy out there. And you see it all the time, quarterbacks coming out of college and going into the NFL. Julian Edelman played quarterback and moved over to wide receiver. They don't put him for a lot of wide receiver passes or gadget plays.
He takes the glove off, he's going to throw it.
Exactly. There's your heads up on it. All right. We need to figure out what is going to happen with the college football attendance, because I've got bets for you. I've got lines. I've got odds on how you can bet on what the attendance will be for the Pac-12. We bashed the Pac-12 a little bit yesterday. We can do it again today. But right now, a sports betting site has told Oregon Live what they expect the attendance to be for Pac-12 football. So we'll talk about that right after this SportsCenter update. Luke Anderson filling in for Dusty Hara. Just a couple more segments, and Dusty will be back with you tomorrow morning. This comes from Oregon Live. They're referring to some numbers that are being predicted by a website called sportsbettingdime.com.
Ooh, get your degenerates going. Let's go.
Well, what they're doing is they're just trying to predict what is going to happen with the crowds for college football if and when we have it. So because of the coronavirus pandemic, Sports Betting Dime has suggested that the Pac-12 could drop by 74% from the 2019 numbers. So if you recall the last couple of years, and I'm sure you and Dusty had these conversations, but the trouble that college football was facing is that they've been seeing consistent small drops mm-hmm. in attendance. Mm-hmm. Short term, obviously, it's going to be bad to have a 74% drop. You're talking about, take the Beavers, for example. They're averaged 32,400. They would drop to 8,400 in attendance if they had a 74% drop. Long term, assuming we get out of this, get a vaccine, COVID-19 is a something in the rearview mirror. Having a season like this where we lose the opportunity, if you want to go to a game, it may not be available to you this year mm-hmm. just because if there's only 8,000 seats that are available because of whether it's social distancing or whatever the reason, you can't make it to these games. Do you think there's potential for a surge when the opportunity comes back to go and return to games? Are people going to miss it, do you think?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, come on, Luke.
Well,
it's a good question. It's a legitimate question to ask. And I think maybe those of you out there that are listening have to ask yourself that. Is that what are you going to miss most about the fall about football? Because it means more, quite obviously, than any other thing we do in our country when it comes to sports, doesn't it? It's the number one show on every network, Fox, NBC, ABC, ESPN. It's the number one downloaded product on Facebook when it comes to sports.
Yep.
When it comes to Amazon streaming, why are they all over the rights? I mean, all those things are true. So we do know the Super Bowl is the most watched sporting event.
In the world.
Okay.
Yep.
And so if all this is true, yeah, you're going to miss it. I think that's stating the obvious. Whether or not you go and attend, I mentioned this the other day. I think, didn't I talk about how the sports bubble has popped?
Yep.
And I think that the sports bubble has popped. Financially, it has popped, and it needed to be reset. I think that it is exorbitantly ridiculous, the cost to go to sporting events. I think you're scamming fans. I think you are charging them ridiculous amounts of tickets. Beer cost to take a family of five, take my family of five to a Blazer game. Can't afford it. I can't do it.
Yeah.
Doesn't make any sense. Now, there are some that out, just like we talked about earlier about the baseball player you mentioned from Colorado. He talked about the haves and the have-nots of baseball.
Yeah, Ian Desmond.
Sports has become haves and have-nots.
Yeah, it's a select club that people pay for the privilege.
It is an elitist club of money on this and money on that and whether or not I have my spot. That's fine if you want to call it that. But television is not – we still have TV. And we still have ways to get it and stream it. We have our phones. So those that can't attend and do that can still appreciate it because the television product and the way we consume it through our digital media now is better than ever. So that gives it more to the masses. And I think that's what football's trying to do is bring back the fact that you still need us.
How often do you attend a live sporting event?
I just don't. I'm in a different time. You know, I'm in a different demographic of people when it comes to my children and priorities for them. First, sure. Is that I prioritize what they're doing in their lives right now before my own. If we're fortunate enough and it all falls in line, it's got to be like a space shuttle launch. But there are a lot of families out there that do it. There's a lot of guys and there's a lot of groups. There's baby boomers. There's that want to spend their money. And then, you know, they got grandkids. They want to do that. There's a whole faction of people that want to.
503-250-1080. If, you know, 2021 has a normal, use air quotes there, normal college football season, you don't have the opportunity to go to games this year. Are you more or less likely to return to the live stadium environment? I mean, I guess that's really the question that I would like to know. Because I went to one game last year. I went to one Ducks game last year. I haven't been to a Seahawks game in years. I used to go all the time, but it's been a long time. Probably went to four Blazers games maybe in the last year. So, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, if there's going to be apprehension from it, I know it's a little bit of a what-if scenario, but right now the projections are that the Pac-12 is going to be down 74%. That's a significant a margin between the estimates, and these are all estimates, granted, but they're saying that the Big 12 will probably have the lowest dip. They're expecting a 53% decline. Mm-hmm. You're looking at 55% for the SEC. ACC will be 58, and the Big 10 will be 59. Part of it is the Pac-12 thing that we talk about, where the West Coast has so many more other options. True. So many of the schools are in major cities. It's not, you know, a college town. The only thing you do on a Saturday is go to the college football game.
Right.
But I wonder if it's going to have a more dramatic effect here than it does elsewhere in the country. Where
it will. I don't think anybody understands it yet, and that's okay. And I can appreciate the fact that we're definitely different here, this part of the region, than other parts of the country. I appreciate the value of all the things that and how you consume your sports and attack it. But just ask yourself this question: human nature is competitive. Is that fair? But it's also we watch and we see what others do. And if you see your neighbors going, if you go on TV and you watch a couple other friends are going, your friends, man, we went down, we tailgated, we had a good time. And they start to trickle back.
Yep.
You know who else we are as human beings? Get your followers. Not everybody's a wolf. There's a lot of sheep. Now, that's not. There's nothing wrong with that. But those of you that start to see, it's like, hey, he jumped off the bridge. I think I'm gonna start going back. You might start to trickle back, or you might have some that decide to never go again. That's okay. But guess what? We're also birthing new people, and you're getting new people involved in games, and everybody's there's always going to be another generation that falls in love with football.
Yep.
You're not going to take it away. So those of you that want to go after it, want to try to cancel it, want to get angry at it, keep trying, because it's not going away. It's ours.
I saw a little fun fact the other day. Memorial Stadium, where they play the home games for Nebraska football, on game day is the third largest city in Nebraska.
Say that again?
Memorial Stadium
The third largest.
It
has the population. It becomes the third, on game day, is the third largest city in the state of Nebraska. Mm. I mean, there is such a desire to be at, you know, and you're looking at, what do they have, 7 home games? You know, being part of that is something different.
It means a lot.
It does.
And to be narcissistic to the point where I just don't see why people care.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
36
no empathy.
Million, 36.8 million fans in 2019. We talk about the economic impact of college football on the universities, on the towns, on everything. They're predicting that it will go from 36 million fans last year to 13.6 million fans this year. Mm-hmm. So even if there is a college football season, with the new protocols and stadiums being half full, it's going to be,
if you told me
right
now,
dramatically different as far as the income.
Ask yourself this, guys. If Oregon and Oregon State came out and told you this, Washington State came out and said, we're letting a select few of fans in, we're giving these tickets, sell out immediately. Ask yourself the question.
Well,
sell out, gone. 20,000 fans come into the get to watch Ohio State. That's our allotment. You got to go through the protocols. You do that. Sold out in less than an hour.
You think so?
No question.
Yeah.
No questions at all. Because there are a lot out there that just are saying, hey, we'll do the right thing. We're going to follow the right path. We're going to sit here and do that. They love it. Now, there are going to be a lot that stay home, and there's going to be a crap ton more that watch on there. But you can't take away the fact that we got to get out. We got to enjoy life and live.
Yeah.
So even though Oregon State was only filling up half their stadium, you think they'd sell out?
Oh, Buck, is that a shot?
No, I'm asking if you think they came back, do you think the attendance would be an even higher demand than it was pre-COVID because it's been so long? That's what I'm at. Like, no, do you think they would get past their previous hours and still sell out?
Yeah.
Yeah. I honestly,
Coach Jonathan Smith there and having the uptick. Yeah.
And you're saying Oregon playing Oregon State?
I'm just saying playing a game. Yeah. Ohio State playing Oregon. Oregon State hosting their home games. No question they'd have people there.
Yeah, but Oregon, North Dakota?
Yes. Yes.
Sell out?
Yes. There is a desire. All of us wanting to. You know what sports is, as much as we all want to not say it? It is it's a distraction. It's a takeaway from that moment of stress and anxiety. It is the fun that you need, and it's something that you need to kind of It's the camaraderie. It's the atmosphere of being a part of a group and cheering on your, not only your university, but your guys and your team and everybody. That you can't take away.
Yeah, it's definitely an escape. There's no question about that. So it'll just be interesting to see if these predictions are accurate. I mean, you're talking about almost 75% drop in attendance for Pac-12 schools compared to a 50% drop for some of the other major conferences. Just the way it's being predicted now. But again, when you have games played in Seattle, in the Bay Area, in Los Angeles, it'll be very interesting to see what it looks like with stadiums half full. We'll get a look at Major League Baseball and the NBA returning with limited or no fans first. So I guess by the time football season started, we'll kind of be used to it. So yeah, it's definitely going to be different optics. But hey, sports, getting back to some semblance of normal is a good thing. I don't know if I put myself on the list for tickets when they become available, but you know, after a couple games, let's say the Blazers, you know, had a season here where it's right in the city, I don't know if I'd be the first one in line, but like you said, second, third game, everybody's good after those.
Oh, so I see. You're a sports theorist now, right?
No, I'm just to your point that are you going to be the first one to jump off the bridge? No, but if somebody else goes, hey, look, I made it. It was fine. It was fun. I've done that. I've been the first right after you, guy.
You're right at you.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll go first right after you.
Did you do that? Oh, I guess I can. Okay. All right.
Hey. Did you die? No, I'm alive.
I'm alive.
Was it fun? Yeah, it was fun down here. Yeah. It felt like a fun.
You know what that's called? You know what that's called, Luke? It's called living.
Yeah, man. So who knows? It's it'll be interesting to watch what happens over the course of the summer. Hey, let's put a bow on the show and my little fill in time here, and we'll say goodbye, and we'll get everything ready for Dusty to come back tomorrow. We'll put a bow on the show next. You listen to Luke Anderson filling in for Dusty on Dusty and Cam in the Morning, right here on 1080 The Fan.
You just gotta keep living, man. LIVIN.
You guys see that CJ McCollum has a signature Pinot Noir?
He's a big wine guy.
Yeah,
he's got his own wine. He loves his wine.
Getting his own vintage.
Yeah, Heritage, that's awesome.
Heritage 91 Pinot Noir.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to give it a taste.
Drink some.
Can we get a taste? Tasting?
Drink some CJ. Let's give him a phone call. See if we can get him in here. Next time I fill in, we'll have CJ.
If we can get him on to talk about his wine.
We'll all drink it. We'll all get a bottle.
Give it a little sample. Yeah. Do a little live tasting.
Yeah. Do that for CJ. Get him in here. Also wanted to point out something we didn't get to over the last couple days.
I am a sommelier on my off day. Well, I'm a poet and I didn't know it.
There you go. The one of the things that we didn't get to in the last couple days, Rudy Gobert says he's still not 100% in his recovery from COVID-19.
Okay, so he can't smell a little bit.
Yeah.
All right. You're fine.
Also wanted to point out that Kylan Hill, the running back from Mississippi, said Mississippi State said he would not play if they kept the flag of the state of Mississippi with the Confederate panel on it.
Yeah,
and colleges across Mississippi United and the Confederate flag emblem will be removed. Currently, Mississippi without a flag until they can vote on a new one. So,
did you see the exciting video from the kind of Mississippi gathering of leadership there that included Lane Kiffin and Mike Leach?
I did. I saw Mike Leach also.
The face wedgie that he gave Lane Kiffin. Did you see that with the face mask? He snapped it over his nose.
He also got shamed for not having his mask on properly.
Well, yeah, his beak was hanging out.
There's nothing that drives me crazier than the person that's pretending to wear a mask at the grocery. They'll just have it hanging off their chin. They're like, I have a mask on.
I know, but
come on.
Well, there's no
welcome
point
to
wearing
society, Luke.
Your mouth.
Good luck.
Well, I know. Well,
welcome.
But again, so if you're going to pick a...
It's no more like Mike Leach than anything.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Pick a college football coach not to care.
Very on brand.
Very on brand.
Very on brand. But the biggest and most important news...
I really don't care what you think.
We're terribly excited about the last
coach. Sanctimonious troll. Yeah.
The
grease stain offensive line.
The Nathan's hot dog eating contest will air live on Saturday, July 4th at noon Eastern time on ESPN. If you were worried that a contest where people are shoving hot dogs down their face would be gone and your 4th of July would be ruined, fear not. The one-hour telecast marked the 17th consecutive year ESPN has televised the event.
Can't stop it. Even a global pandemic will not stop it.
Joey Chestnut.
You can knock out sports. You can knock out all, but you can't stop people shoving wieners down their throat.
Your coverage kicks off at 9 a.m. local time with the women's championship, followed by the men's championship.
Just they're dumping buns in the water. Softening up your buns. And
it will not have the crowd. Now, we've talked about this a lot over the past however many weeks. We've been talking about it since March. What are sports going to look like without crowds? You're going to have a hot dog eating energy contest without the crowd. Listen, how is Joey Chestnut going to be able to perform without his throngs of adoring fans there cheering him on?
Will they put up screens of zoomed-in people yelling at him and cheering him on? Will they pipe in crowd noise for the hot dog eating contest?
Yeah, the annual contest, an American holiday tradition.
That is what it is.
Has been normally held on the corner of Surf and Stillwell Avenues for generations, will take place at a private location with COVID-19 safety measures in place. That is the information that I have. But it will not happen in the same outdoor location on Coney Island that you normally see. Instead, a private location with COVID-19 safety measures in place. Mm-hmm.
This is a financial thing. Does the entire the institution of the Nathan's contest go up in smoke if they don't perform it this year? So. Is that how that works?
I think so.
I don't know if we're allowed to officially celebrate the birth of America, the Independence Day, without people eating hot dogs to disgusting amounts.
Do you believe it's going to be the 4th of July this weekend?
That didn't feel weird.
Are you pumped? It feels like I got to get ready.
The other day, it was just before Father's Day weekend.
Yeah.
Somebody wished me a happy Father's Day. Didn't know. She's like, I don't know if I'll see you before then or talk to you before then. So mm-hmm. I just want to wish you a happy Father's mm-hmm. Day right now. Mm-hmm. I stared at the clock and date at the bottom lower right hand corner of my computer screen for probably 15 minutes going, how the hell is it the middle of June?
I know.
And my birthday was this weekend, and Father's Day was that weekend. And so both are big moments. But without these sports calendar to kind of keep you...
Meshed it together. Yeah. There's no rhyme or reason.
I just sat there and stared at it. Now it's June 30th. Tomorrow is July.
It's awful.
Tomorrow is July. It's awful. This weekend is the 4th of July, dude.
What are we waiting? Let's see. The NFL starts the 28th. We get NBA. We get baseball.
Yeah. But still, like how long before our clocks feel right in our heads, man?
I don't want to do this anymore.
I have no idea, but it does.
Give us this small semblance of sports. Whatever way you want to do it, bring it.
Yeah. Well,
give it here.
And just get back to normalcy. I mean, the Entercom offices, we're coming in every day and we're doing these shows for you and we're happy to be able to do it. And I haven't said it in a while. Thank you to everybody that's out there in all of the essential positions that has helped get things reopened and help create that normalcy and get everybody through this pandemic. We're essential workers. I've got three letters in my bag every day that I bring
that's
in.
What they, that's what they tell
that
us.
That they've sent us. But the rest of the office, they've said that the sales team won't be back until at least September 1st. So there's another 2 months of having these empty building around us. So it's bizarre, man. I can't wait to get back to normal. But hopefully everybody's out there staying safe, taking care of their family, using this opportunity to spend more time with your kids that maybe you wouldn't have had otherwise. But I want to thank both of you, Cam.
Always
Buck,
a pleasure, my man.
For having me in. It's always a pleasure to be here. You can stay right here on The Fan. Colin is next, of course. But I'm done. I'll be back. I'm not this Saturday. I'm going out for the 4th of July. I'll be back a week from Saturday. So thank you guys for listening. Thanks for having me. I'm done. We're done. Bye-bye.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.